I'm not sure if this really is going to qualify as a sermon. I didn't write anything down, first of all. Woo-hoo. And what I want to do during this time is try this sort of approximation of doing the Ashes of Ash Wednesday that we would normally do. The reason for this different way of doing things is, well, it really goes back to I believe it was the first day of this year when on Facebook, because that's where conversation happens now, there was an argument between a number of my colleagues about Ash Wednesday. It was the first thing of the year. Pastors arguing about Ash Wednesday. Some were saying, you know, it's basically felt like Lent for the whole past year, so maybe we don't have to hit too hard on the mortality thing and the ashes for Ash Wednesday. Maybe this is the year to kind of cool it on that a little bit. And I thought that was a reasonable perspective, because it does really seem like the last 11 months, you know, it started during Lent last year, this pandemic did, the first sort of shutdowns that we had when nobody knew quite what was going on. And now 11 months later, some people kind of know what's going on, but basically still nobody really knows what's going on, because this disease has not, like, outed itself in the way that we can recognize it and find it and identify it. It's still unclear who is carrying this virus at a given time. And so we still have that kind of fear and uncertainty in our lives. As the pastors on Facebook argued about Ash Wednesday, I kept out of it because I don't need that. It's my day off. Come on now. but as people argued about it, somebody made the point that, you know, this year of all years would be a good year, if you could, to do what we normally do on Ash Wednesday, which is you do the ashes, you have the imposition of ashes, you remember your mortality in that way, and also we receive the Eucharist, we receive communion. And in that bread and wine, we receive this tangible sign of God's forgiveness for us to sort of balance the message that is the message of Ash Wednesday. And I really felt like something like that would be really helpful this year when it's, again, it seems like it's been Lent for 11 months and there's been ample opportunity for all of us in the last 11 months to be aware of our own mortality, of our own human frailty, of where our bodies can be strong and where our bodies can be weak in our lives. And so we're not able to do communion because there's a stupid pandemic and we're still stuck here on Zoom. And I appreciate your putting up with this for so long, the way doing it this way. And so I wanted to add something to that part. And so I think what I'm actually going to do is add that part after the confession, because we're going to do this, sing a song, and then there's the invitation to introduction to Lent, whatever. There's another, I got to talk more. There's a lot of words in this service tonight. Ash Wednesday is so wordy. The lessons were all really long, right? But I don't want words on Ash Wednesday. I want embodiment. I want the touch of the ashes. I want the taste of the bread and the wine. I want the tactile feeling, embodied experience of Ash Wednesday. Y'all know in the Lutheran tradition is one of many Christian traditions where we get in our heads too much. We talk too much. We think too much. We, you know, do fancy theology. And we forget that all of this is about our whole selves. It's about our bodies. Jesus was born and lived a human life in a human body with the aches and pains and, you know, sores on his feet from walking around in the dusty, dry ground and all of the things that our bodies experienced, Jesus experienced in his body. Our bodies are really important. And that's part of the point of Ash Wednesday, right? Is that we remember the frailty of our bodies and we recognize it and we accept that and we trust that God will care for us in our bodies and even when our bodies are no more. That's the idea with Ash Wednesday. And so I really, you know, I thought about cutting out some of the readings, so it just goes on and on and it's so Lenty and Ash Wednesday-y and I'm tired of all that. And I wanted to get to the part where we remember that we have bodies, that we are bodies, that our whole selves are part of what is being redeemed by God. It's not just our souls or whatever. It's all that we are. The good and the bad of our bodies. I spent an embarrassingly long amount of time today. I realized, I told somebody this at the beginning of the call, before most of you were on, that somebody asked how I was doing today, and I said, well, at 3:30 this afternoon, I remembered that I could take a shower today. And that really made my day, really turned things around for me. Because I was just kind of having a, you know, I was having a real Ash Wednesday, you know what I mean? And I took a shower, and I just felt a lot better. Because I was, like, bothering to care for my body, even the slightest, like, the bare minimum amount. But then after that, I spent an embarrassingly long amount of time trying to get a picture that I could put on my hair Instagram account, because I let my hair look nice, but I didn't like how my face looked. It was a whole thing, right? Because, again, our bodies matter, and the way that we interact with them, and I'm, you know, I have a hard time with the way my body is, the way it acts, the way it looks, just like everybody else does. And yet I try to counteract that by having this ridiculous Instagram account for my hair, right? So I can, like, make fun of the whole idea. But anyway, on Ash Wednesday, we remember that God created us in love, and that we, as all human beings, will live and will die, and that our bodies will return, generally in theory, to the earth, to that which was made. And that someday, that our faith tells us that we will be resurrected bodily, that our bodies will be resurrected, that our bodies will be reformed, that somehow when we are in the kingdom of God, when we're in heaven, when Jesus returns, we will be embodied. We won't just be like souls ghosting around. Ooh, that's not what Orthodox Christian belief is. It's that somehow our bodies will be there. Hopefully the better versions of our bodies, so that we can get over it and have to stop whining about how I look on my Facebook or my Instagram account. With this body thing, it really, really matters. And that's why these ashes that we do on Ash Wednesday are so important. So does some of you have something like ashes or dirt, or find some dust or a marker or some physical thing? Something. Do you have something? And you can do this for yourselves. There's no rule that says the ashes have to be put on by somebody else. So if you're on your own tonight, that is totally okay. So what I would like to do now is, if you have that, I have my ashes, and I'm going to show you my little container right here. I am so proud of this little container of ashes. You can kind of see, like, it's mostly full. You can kind of see in the thing. I made these like 5 years ago. And the way I do these ashes, I burn the palm leaves, and I took out all the stems and burn the leaves, and I put it through a fine strainer, and then I grind it with a mortar and pestle until it's this tiny, fine little dust. And it lasts forever, as long as you don't put oil in it or water or anything else. Just leave it on its own. So what I would like you to do is get whatever the approximation of ashes is that you have. And you can take that on your finger or on your thumb. Most of you guys don't get to do this every year. I get to do this every year. Maybe you don't get to do this for each other. This is a neat thing. We should maybe have other people do this more often. I have so much, these ashes are so fine, I'm just taking them off the lid. That's how I'm doing it. And I want you to find your own forehead, or find maybe the person next to you if there's somebody else in the room. And the words are, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. I didn't look that up. If I'm remembering it wrong, somebody correct me. But remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And you can put that in first person if you're doing it for yourself. That's okay. Sally, do you want some ashes? Here, come on. You want some ashes?
Yes.
I thought you did. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
I don't want to.
You don't want to? A little bit, ashes, sir?
Okay.
All right, anybody else want some? Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Wait, I'm going to get you, like, get somebody in the shop here. Honey, you want some?
Okay. Did myself 2 days ago.
All right. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You want some for me?
Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Okay. Since we have the privilege of having extra people here, it took us a minute longer. I hope the rest of you had time to work that out. No. So, even though our gospel lesson for Ash Wednesday every year, we get the same one every year, is very clear that you're not supposed to go around showing everybody that you're repentant. You're not supposed to go around showing everybody that you're churchy or praying or any of those things. We Christians decide to, every year on Ash Wednesday, directly and obviously flaunt Jesus' instructions and put these ashes on our foreheads and have this awkward, visible sign of our own mortality, knowing that we are dust, that God has created us, that all that we are comes from God, and that all that we are will be changed in death, but not ended, just changed. And that we will still be with God, even after we have returned to dust. So I'm going to pause here, and we're going to do some more Lenti stuff, and then I'm going to come back with the other part of this ritual in a few minutes. That's my plan. So, if you have oil, now that we've completed those other parts, if you have some oil, what I wanted to do, again, because we can't have communion tonight, so we don't get to experience forgiveness in that way, I wanted to try this anointing thing. And the idea here is, right, I mean, it's even in our gospel lesson tonight, Jesus says, you know, wash your face, anoint yourself with oil. I don't know if he uses the word anoint, but like, use oil to clean your face so that you look fresh and good. So that people don't know that you're fasting is what Jesus is talking about. But obviously, anointing is a big religious ritual tradition that we don't do much of in the church these days. The point of, you know, anointing, right? So King David was anointed, right? If you're a king, you're anointed. If you are to be anointed is to be set apart as holy and set apart for a particular purpose, to recognize that God has blessed you to a particular role or ministry or task or experience even. And so I wanted tonight for us to have this time to try to mark our bodies in that way, not just with the ashes that says you're dirt, because we're so much more than dirt. You're so much more than dirt. And the dirt thing is for real, but we've been hearing about dirt and feeling like dirt for 11 months now. So let's try the other thing also. It's a big thing in Lutheran theological tradition, right? The both and. The paradox of both and. So what I want you to do is I want you to get some of this oil if you've got some. But even if you don't, you can just make the sign of the cross on you. I want you to take a little bit of this oil, and normally you do it on your forehead where the ashes is. I'm not going to mix those together. I think that's going to be weird. So I'm going to take this, and I'm going to do a little bit of, I'm going to make the sign of the cross to anoint my face. I'll just go my cheek. That works. That'll do, right? I want to anoint myself and remember that I have been set apart by God because God loves me. God loves all of me. God loves my whole body. I think I've said it to this group before, but can you imagine if you loved your body as much as God loved your body? Can you imagine what that experience would be like? And if you could maintain that, what that would be like in your life? But I don't want you to just stop for anointing your face or your forehead. Anoint your hands. You know, you got this oil. Let's, you know, make a mess. You're at home. Like, it's fine. You can just go wash up afterwards. No problem. So anoint your hands, because your hands are the parts of your body that do the thing. They're the parts of your body that actually do stuff. Your hands are blessed, even if they don't do what they used to do. Even if they don't do what you want them to do. I always wanted my hands to play a musical instrument. It wasn't going to happen. My hands don't work that way. It's just out for me. It doesn't work. Do that. And then, here's where it gets better. Like, it may be a good idea to anoint even your feet. We do foot washing, and there's that thing in church, and it's awkward, and not everybody does it. But you're all sitting at home. I mean, how many of you are honestly wearing shoes right now? I'm wearing shoes because I have a hard time preaching not in shoes. Nancy's wearing shoes because she's like that, right? But if you're not, you may consider anointing your feet. It might be the right thing. And then there's even more. Maybe you got a bum elbow or knee. You could anoint that. You're by yourself. You're at your own house. Like, it's fine. You could anoint. You know what? You could turn your camera on off and anoint whatever you like. Because your whole body is beloved of God. And if there's a part of you that's been getting you down, anoint it. Remember that it is holy and blessed. Like, go for it. If you can't do it right now, you got all night. You got all Lent. You probably have oil in the house. Anoint yourself to remember that you have been set apart by God as beloved, your whole self. And that belovedness carries equal weight with the dirty dustiness that we always recognize on Ash Wednesday. Both are true. Both are true. You have to have both things. The belovedness of your whole self in your embodied reality, and the fact that your body is not forever, and it's not meant to be forever. That's why this is like the church's answer to supervillains, because supervillains are always trying to live forever, and it causes trouble in all kinds of movies and comic books and cartoons and all those things. None of that for followers of Jesus. We know that we will die, and that's okay, because we know, we trust that in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, God has told us, has promised us, that death is not the end of our story. That even when we are dust, we will be with God, beloved of God. Amen.